turn your Bibles will to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, as we continue to look and see and find our Lord Jesus in the Psalms and the references to him. There's something in this psalm that really stood out as we're preparing for the services and what message the Lord had me to bring. And we've got a lot of reading this morning, so stay with me. It's really the Word of God. The Lord's Word will preach the message. I'll have to say little. You know me, though. I'll be tempted to say things, but I'm going to try to really hold it back this morning, okay? And let's just hear what the Lord has to us says to us here. God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. And listen to this, these references here. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. So talking about a changing, a destruction, a changing at the very least of this earth. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. He said, the Lord is the one that we look to and rest in. He's our refuge. There is a river, the streams of whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, and he uttered his voice, the earth melted. And it will. It will be dissolved. This whole earth will be. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And that word Selah there is speaking about just stop, pause for a second, and think about that. Meditate upon that. Consider that. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. And he will come, and he will wage war upon the heathen and upon the nations. He will gather them together, as will be reminded here in other passages, that there'll be no more war. He'll deal with them the way that they deal themselves, and he will bring them to an end. He maketh wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. What a blessedness that psalm is, and a reminder about the greatness of God. And many of these psalms that we found here in this part of the book of Psalms have been that way, to remind us about the greatness of our Lord and Savior, to remind us about the greatness of our God, his ability and his strength, his dominance overall. He is in control, and he will bring things to a good end for his children and for his glory's sake. And what a blessing it is by salvation our Lord Jesus Christ to be included in such. Those that are far from the Lord, those that are away from the Lord, not having the Lord as Savior, they will be taken the farthest, and it will be a terrible, terrible eternity that they will experience. But for the children of the Lord, the believers, the redeemed, the rescued, the saved, oh, what it lies ahead for us, and what the Lord has in store for us to partake of his victory, as we saw last Sunday, you and I cannot fathom the glory and the greatness of that. But we know and we believe that it's so, and we grapple with it in the Word of God to try to comprehend it. This morning in verse number 4, this is what stood out to me in verse number 4. There is a river. That's it. Isn't that interesting that he speaks about the waters roaring and being troubled and the mountains shaking as it is, and the And though all these things around us, even the very substance of the earth, would be changed or destroyed, our trust and rest is in the Lord and not this earth. And then he says, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. And what's that? It's Jerusalem, isn't it? And in this context, who dwells in Jerusalem? Well, the people of God, the children of God. We also, that we're not a part of, but his nation is very much tuned into Jerusalem. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The buildings, the dwellings. And he tells us that as his children, we are his tabernacle. He lives within us. And there will be buildings there and that new heaven and that new earth. It will be so in the millennial reign too, won't there? There's a great building that will be built there. The tabernacle, the dwelling of Israel and her land in peace for the time of the millennium. There is a river. That's what we want to look at this morning. And I invite you to turn over your Bible, and your Bible's over to Zechariah chapter 14. Let's read this chapter and see what's said here. In Zechariah 14, verse number 1, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand on that day, in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is just to the east of Jerusalem. Okay? His feet are going to come and touch down when he comes back to earth. Which is before Jerusalem, Olives is, on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And that's talking about the cleaving. It's going to rip open when the Lord lands there. And that rip, that cleaving is going to extend to the east and to the west. Of course, to the east will be in the direction of Jerusalem. And towards the west, to the west will be towards Jerusalem. To the east will be towards Syria, and that way, as we've looked at it on Wednesday night. And there shall be a very great valley. So well, there's not a valley. There'll be a valley. And half of the mountain shall remove towards the north to make this cleaving, and half of the mountain, half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azal, which we don't understand where that is. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord, my God, shall come, and all the saints with thee. So, I mean, it's very plain. This is talking about what we read about in Revelation 19. It gives us a different vantage point. We see it in Revelation from the sky, if you will. Here we see it from the earth, from the ground, and the saints coming with him. Jude writes in his epistle, behold, the Lord cometh when 10,000s of his saints. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. And it shall be one day which the Lord shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. So when we would expect it to be dark, on that day it'll be light. Not bright, but not dark. We've had, I think about that when we have days that are just kind of like that, how that will be. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, verse 7, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Verse 8, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, and half of them towards the hinder sea. In summer and winter shall it be. There'll be water that goes forth out of Jerusalem. If I understand it correctly, towards the Mediterranean, and towards whatever body of water is indicated to the east, which is hard to understand, But it's going to be a continuing thing in it, summer and winter. That water is going to flow out of there. What a fountain. What a well. If we went over to Jerusalem today, again, where it's not watered, we would find it to be very, very dry. We would scratch our heads and think, how could any water come out of this place? But it will. It will. At the arrival and landing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth, obviously the millennial reign. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. No other king that is supreme but our Lord. All the land shall be turned as plain from Geba to Ramon, south of Jerusalem. And so it's mountainous there. The hill country of Judea is referenced in the scriptures. It'll become like a plain, flat. That removing of the mountains that we read about over there in Psalms. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate into the place of the first gate, into the corner gate, from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction. But Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited with this flowing water from her. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Speaking about the armies of the heathen, the nations that have come. Armageddon, as the Lord has promised. The fighting that he does in Basra. And their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. Just like the Lord's done with other armies, like we saw Wednesday about the Assyrians, and one night 185,000 dead from the touch of the Lord. And Judah shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. It seems like they've come to stay in this fight, but they will not succeed. And so shall be the plague of the horse and of the mule and the camel and the ass and of all beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king. This is as that water flows in summer and winter. So will this continuance. To worship the king, the Lord Jesus, the Lord of hosts, to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come of the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain, no water. No blessing even from this flood, this river that flows. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And so there's other chastisement that the Lord will bring. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, worshipped in every way he will be. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seed therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. This river, this flowing, in that day, verse 8, that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, seemingly to the east and to the west, turning to the north, turning towards the south. In the book of Ezekiel, we have some clarity about this that's given to us. Brother Ezekiel is given vision and understanding about, I believe, this same thing. Understand this flowing will begin at the time of the Lord Jesus when he comes back. And Ezekiel tells us about the great building of the temple, like none other that has been built. If we understand the book and the writing correctly. And in Ezekiel chapter 47, we see here in these first 12 verses, understanding about how this flowing and the purpose of it and how the Lord will use it and the purpose for which he sent it. In Ezekiel chapter 47, afterward he brought me again, Ezekiel speaking, under the door of the house, speaking of the tabernacle and its related buildings and court and such. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. Well, we've heard about that, haven't we? There's now been a building there. And the building of this tabernacle that the Lord shows Ezekiel about, it'll be unlike, greater than Solomon's, greater than Herod's renovation, greater than that which was built by Zerubbabel and the second temple, and then Herod renovating that. And here we see from the house waters going eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, which is the direction of Olives. And the waters came down under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward and led me out of the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man, the angel, that had the line in his hand, this is a character in the book that is measuring things to show the distance, to show the width and the breadth and the height of things. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, or we would understand 580 some yards. So you get a picture of that. Nearly 6 football fields. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. It's an abundance of water. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. It's getting deeper. And he measured 1,000 cubits, and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins, to the waist, or thereabouts. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. It's all flowing out of the temple, the tabernacle of the Lord. It's all flowing, seemingly, from that great cleaving of Olives and to the east and to the west. And from that, the Lord has caused living waters to flow. He said the waters were risen, the waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. You couldn't traverse it. It's flowing so greatly. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river that's created by these waters. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other, prosperity and blessing from this water. Then he said unto me, these waters issue toward the east country and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which is the Dead Sea. It's the lowest place in all the earth. It's where all the many metals and salts and such collect from all the flow of the earth. We've learned that in our study of geography in that. He said, these waters are going to flow down there, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. They'll be made usable. They'll be changed. The destruction that mankind has waged upon the earth and just our failure to understand some things and do things, that is going to be healed by these waters flowing out of the Lord's city. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. It'll be life unto them. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come hither. For they shall be healed. And everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even into Eglaim, which are cities around the Dead Sea. And they shall be a place to spread forth nets, because they're able to even fish in the Dead Sea. And their fish shall be according to their kinds, not just one, but multiples, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. Because you know what? People need salt to be able to live. And the Lord will even provide for that. And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. So clarity there. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Because the Lord is going to take this old earth, this sin-ravaged world, the great destruction that he has brought in subduing all of his enemies on the earth, and he's going to bring healing. And part of the way he's going to do that is by this water that flows not out of Paris, not out of Alexandria, not out of Washington, D.C., not out of London, not out of Moscow, not out of Hong Kong, and not out of Sydney, but out of Jerusalem. It's going to be a healing. There is a river. There is a river. And that will be on this earth. In Revelation chapter 22, we also see a reference here. And it's interesting how the Lord does the greatness and the cunning and knowledge and wisdom of the Lord. It's so great. So many things given to us in the Scripture that we might understand who and how and what the Lord is unto us. There is a river. Here in Revelation 22, we're not looking at this earth. We're not being given a view of this earth, but we're being given a view of the earth to come. The new earth, as it's referred to. And what do we see here? And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. Where does it come from? Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And the new earth, it will be a continuing thing. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. Remember how on the old earth there were those abundance of trees for fruit, for meat, for food, for leaves, for healing? Well, here there's the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I kind of scratch my head about that in this new heaven and the new earth. Why would there need to be a healing of nations? But it will be so. And there will be healing. And in that, can you imagine that? A perfect river and a perfect bank and a perfect field beside it with perfect trees growing that will be for nothing but for the glory of the Lord and the benefit of the children of God. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. That means no more thorns and thistles, right? That land will bring forth abundantly, and his servants shall serve him. Verse 4, and they shall see his face, praise God. And his name shall be in their foreheads. So there is a river that will be on this earth that will be for healing. And praise God for his graciousness and mercy in that day to bring his nation to the fullness of what she should be, even on this earth, Israel, and to bring his saints along to rule and reign with him in that time. There is a river. But in that new earth, there's a river too. And we will enjoy it and praise our Lord for it and all other blessings for eternity. Well, I ask the question, who is it that can cause such rivers to flow? They come out of Jerusalem. They come out of the throne of God. How can such an abundance of water? You remember how it was with the children of Israel there in great need of water and how the Lord told Moses to strike the rock. to bring forth an abundance of water. And understand, it wasn't like the movie where there was a little 2-inch stream of water that came out there. I mean, it was a gusher. People were backing up to not get swept away by it. For our Lord, our God, He will bring these rivers to flow on this earth and on the new earth. Who is it that can cause such to flow? Well, only the one who is the water of life Himself. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one that can cause such rivers to flow. You remember in John chapter 4, don't you? The Lord needed to go through Samaria. It was essential. He would not be deterred. His disciples were used to making the trip around, being, stalwart Jews. They would steer away from Samaria. But the Lord this day said it was very necessary for Him to go to Samaria. And we pick it up as He meets this woman here at the well at Sychar. It says in verse 7, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For His disciples were going away into the city to buy meat, to buy food. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of Him, and He would have given thee living water." He said He's got it. He's got living water. And He tells this woman, He said, if you knew the gift of God, and who is that? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink. Who's asking you of a drink? The Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Savior of sinners. He said, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew who I am, you'd ask water of me. And I tell you what, if you're here and you're not saved, I want you to hear that, what the Lord Jesus Himself says. He says, if you knew the gift of God and you knew who I am, you'd ask of living water of me. And what's he say? You would have asked of Him, and He would have given thee, ask, and He would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto Him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. All she's thinking about is the carnal, the earthly. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water, pointing to the well, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Not only can I give you water, but I'll give you a spring of water, a well of water inside that will never, ever dry up. The woman saith unto Him, Sir, give me this water. Give me this water. That I thirst not. She doesn't understand, does she? Neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. In asking for this water, she's thinking about not being able to, not having to come to the well anymore, the physical well, to draw water in her life. Jesus is talking about the need of her soul. And He says, if you will, He says, you've got to see your sin first. And He goes on to show her. And she understands that He knows all about her sin. Who is it that can cause such rivers to flow on this earth and the new earth? Well, the one that has, who is the water of life Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives that spring. He gives that water of life to save sinners. He gives that spring and well of life within that will never, never, ever run dry. In Revelation chapter 21, we go back to the book of Revelation and we read this. This, as the Lord Jesus closes out the scriptures, his appearing to Brother John on the Isle of Patmos. And listen to the words that he says here and that are written. Brother John writes about the things that he saw. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The way it was is gone. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He says, Write them. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Because he's got it. And he'll give it. To who? The thirsty. To him that is athirst, I will give it. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And he mentions about that in the second and third chapter of the book. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving, those that are afraid to trust the Lord, those that say no, they're bound by doubt, unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Who is it that can cause such rivers to flow on this earth and the new earth? The one who is the water of life himself. And he says, I will give unto him that is athirst of the water, the fountain of the water of life freely. That is the kind of water that he is, that he has, the water of life. We come over here to chapter 22 and we read, continue on reading where we did from verse number 6. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent, his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book, that obeys, that hears, that hearkens, that believes. And what the Lord has said is the truth. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down and worshipped before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And he said unto me, See, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Now that's the church, isn't it? We say, Come. That's part of our job, is to say, Come. Hear about what Jesus has done for the salvation of sinners. Come. Come to the Lord. And let him that heareth say, Come. And listen to this. and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I believe the Lord closing out this book and the scripture itself and the New Testament canon of scripture as it's played, as the book of the Revelation is placed here in the end of the New Testament scriptures. This is the closing message of the Lord unto sinners. Come, and if you will, take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, and shall take, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which were written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, the Lord Jesus speaking. And Brother John says with us, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. Who is it that can cause such rivers to flow? Indeed, it is the one who is the water of life himself. There is a river. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. There is a river that will flow out of Jerusalem on this earth and will heal the world. There is a river that will flow out of the New Jerusalem and on the New Earth that will be the water of life for the New Earth and all that dwell therein. And there is a river that is our Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Savior of sinners, who is life and who is greater than cool water is to one that is physically thirsty. He's greater than that. Way greater than that. He is that gives a fountain of living water within that is forever satisfied and will never run dry. He is the water of salvation to thirsty souls. And I pray that you are thirsty for him today.